I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Bert Breer on Sunday, his report that the Crafts are looking for help developing Drake May, looking for help from the outside, trying to get a little advantage, trying to get a little edge as they develop their young quarterback, who's been developing, I think, nicely so far. I think everybody agrees with that. Dan Orlovsky thinks Patriots fans should be giddy. This after he said that he couldn't pay him enough money in the world. Not for all the tea in China would he put Drake May into a meaningful game this season. Now he's giddy and everyone should be giddy. Drake May's winning people over at an alarming rate. Maybe not alarming is the right word, but at a very nice rate here. People are falling in love with Drake May every time they see him and every time they hear him talk and every little piece of news that comes out about him and his leadership qualities as a young guy, his speeches in the locker room, all that stuff. I mean, there's not much. I can't hear you. I don't know. What's wrong with Andy's mic? Actually, leave it like this. No. Go back.
Sorry, boys.
Go back to how it was, please. Bitch. What did I hear? What?
Did you see the latest video that the Patriots put out on their Twitter account, I think, with him with the kids at the charity, like little kids, like maybe 10-year-olds? He fits right in. He looks so young.
He looks like one of the kids.
Well, he's
it's
bigger.
Like a really tall kid.
But it makes him look younger with the kids, but he's doing such a good job interacting with the kids. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at this right
now.
He has it.
He oozes it. He oozes it on the field. He oozes it in the locker room. This sounds weird the more I keep saying
sure
it.
Sure does.
He has it. I am all in on that. And that makes it even more quizzical to me, curious to me, that they are doing this so early. And something Ted Johnson brought up, it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Can we be careful? Like, Bill Belichick used to do a good job tamping things down.
Sure.
If he can threaten people.
He didn't like people talking about anything outside the building anytime.
And they adhered
to
it.
Not that he was going
to
tell the Crafts what to do, but, you know, in general with
right.
the players
that was
and
the one...
coaches and stuff like that, you can't do that. Yeah.
The Crafts are some of the richest people on the planet. Some of the most powerful people in football mm-hmm. in Massachusetts on the planet. How come they can't keep it on the down low?
Good question.
They can't threaten people to keep... Because I think this is terrible. I think this is a terrible look to have out there.
Mm.
The more I think about
it's out, by the way,
like
it was confirmed by Tommy Kern. I asked
yep.
him about it. The first thing he said was, yeah, this is happening. Listen to Tommy Kern. This was the first question out of the gate when we talked to him at 4:30.
They are doing it, and I think that's the due diligence you should engage in when you watch your young quarterback who's a third overall pick, and you understand, as Robert Kraft has said to me, coach and quarterback are the two things that you need to succeed in the league.
Okay, right there. That's we got it right there. I mean, that's the things that you need to succeed. They're taking it very seriously. Due diligence, I'm all for, but in-season due diligence? Like, that's a step beyond what I would consider owners doing their due diligence to be doing unless they're unhappy with what's going on, and I'm just not sure what they're unhappy about.
So let's just use that right there, though, that very end piece. The two things you need are a quarterback and a coach. We both believe they have the quarterback.
Yeah.
Do we both believe they have the coach
no.
as strongly?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not that I think he can't ever do it, but I just right now I'm not saying he's locked down that job the way that Drake May's locked down the quarterback job.
So what do you think Robert Kraft should the Krafts,
mm-hmm.
Robert or Jonathan and or both, what do you think they should be asking around the league about? How to support a young quarterback or how to support a young coach? Because I think the coach needs more support right now than the quarterback.
Sure.
Right? Like you could be calling Stan Kroenke. Actually, I'm going to see you this week, Stan. Hey, could you stop by the suite? I just had a quick question. You had Sean McVay. How'd you support him as a young coach? How'd you go about it when he's a 30-something dealing with 30-something players? You know, those are the questions I'd want to ask. I actually think Drake May has all the support he needs in terms of coaching right now. The questions are, as Tom articulated, you and I articulated, I think anybody with eyeballs can talk about, they need talent. Mm-hmm. They need to support him actually on the field. And I don't think anybody needs to advise anybody in the if the Patriots need advice in that area, then they're more porked than I ever thought.
Yeah, and listen, 20 years of leaving everything to one guy and having him deal with all that stuff, all the football stuff, well, Bill will take care of it no matter what it is, whether it's players, whether it's scandals, whether it's whatever. Just leave it to Bill. It's Bill's thing. It's Bill's show. He'll deal with it, and if something goes wrong, we'll swoop in and say what we have to say. They left everything up to him for 25 freaking years. I mean, that's a long time to do that. That's a long time to be mm-hmm. hands-off, and I know they weren't hands-off the whole time, but for the most part, that was it. They let him make the football decisions, and now he's gone, and there's football decisions that they think maybe need to be made, and there's no one standing in the way of them going out to try and make them. Now, it's been a while since they've had to do something like this, or whether they've thought so. They didn't intervene when Bill was ruining Mac Jones or any of that stuff. You didn't see them jump in and say, well, wait a minute, right. Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, what are you doing with this? That never happened. Maybe in the offseason it did, but in season now you're starting to talk about these things in a season that we all know. And Kraft said as much before the year. This isn't about wins and losses. We're not going to win that many games this year. He said those words. He knows that. This isn't anybody getting the wool pulled over their eyes. So what's the problem? Like, what are you worried about? I understand due diligence, but if you really think that this is the wrong path that Drake May is being led down, I feel like they're in the minority there.
Yeah, so I'm experiencing an Indy Hart first in this time slot.
Oh?
Yeah. I didn't hate this as much in the 2 o'clock hour as I do in the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
And maybe it's because the clock turned to the bitching hour and I'm in a bitchier mood now. And we'll update the 774 that said, catch us 5 o'clock drivers up on what you're talking about. Albert Breer reported over the weekend, Tom Curran has confirmed the Crafts are seeking advice on how
we played the clip at 5 o'clock.
I'm just helping him a little bit.
I'm yelling at him is what
okay.
I'm saying.
We played the clip. It says a few seconds ago. I'm trying to help him.
All right.
Or a minute ago. Albert Breer reported and Tom Curran confirmed to us the Crafts are seeking advice on how to support a young quarterback. It's out there. I hate that. You're a powerful person. Tell people if this ever gets out there, I'll squash you like a bug and make your life miserable for the right. rest of it. However short that may be, my friend. And the fact that I don't know that Drake May needs any support. He seems quite comfortable with Alex Van Pelt. The biggest issue that Drake May and Alex Van Pelt have together as a combo is the offensive line, the wide receivers. Everybody stinks but them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Alex Van Pelt will stink later, but we haven't found that out yet. His scheme may stink. We'll find that out later. We don't know that yet. Also, a little layer I'd throw in here. What the holy hell does Ben McAdoo do?
Mm.
Isn't Ben McAdoo the type of advisor, consultant you'd hire in this situation?
Absolutely.
Quarterback guy, offense guy, head coach guy. He can help us, and he could actually help everybody. Drake May, Alex Van Pelt, and your head coach. But my biggest issue is, if anybody needs help, it feels like it's Gerard Mayo, not Drake May. Drake May is trending in a more positive direction. He has done a better job in his role as a leader, a playmaker, and a quarterback than Gerard Mayo has as the head coach. So, 2 o'clock, I was lukewarm on this. 5:10, I'm more and more annoyed that they're doing this. It got out there. This feels like it's undercutting everybody.
Yeah.
They had a little momentum this week. They have a little momentum with a nice win in Chicago. You make another team look crappy, and now you got to talk about
this. Yeah, here comes the hammer.
Right, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Stop it. Let this play out. You put together a plan. The plan may be flawed. It may not work long term, but the most important part of the plan, the quarterback, you've hit a home run. Enjoy the home run. Live with that for now. Stop screwing it up.
603, please repeat for those who entered the car at 508. One more time.
Son of
Reset
a bitch.
It. All right, let's go over it again. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Good friend Chris is in Worcester. Hey, Chris.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up, Chris?
This goes up. Hey, not much. Just getting home, driving home from Boston. Honestly, I parked across from the Fenway Green Monster. Mm-hmm. I work in the Longwood Medical Area, so got home. It took me 3 hours, but whatever.
Sounds about right.
I wanted to talk about the Van Pelt thing. So he gets a whiff of this, saying he's hearing the rumblings that they're looking and asking. So can Van Pelt do what Mac Jones did, go out to anybody outside? Would they be mad at him being like, hey, can you give me some ideas, somebody in the coaching ranks? Would that be rude of Van Pelt to get information? Because I was starting to think about all of this stuff You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
no, I know what you mean.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. You got it, Chris. Thanks for the call. Sorry about the traffic. I will say this. I think what Van Pelt and Mayo are doing right now, as opposed to looking outside, is they're trying to present a unified front, because I think they're stronger together as the two guys that are bringing Drake May along and turning him into this good pro and this quarterback that you can build around. And it's important that you keep us here because we're the ones who are fostering this environment for him and blah, 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 blah. You know, you said who's doing a better job, Mayo or May. We all agree that it's May, but Mayo did a better job or is doing a better job than Elliott Wolf did putting this team together.
Yes.
I think we can agree on that now, and maybe at the end of the season we'll feel differently, but three wins at this point is more wins than Belichick had at this point last year, and Elliott Wolf didn't really do much to amend this roster from what you had last season. It's mostly a lot of those same guys and a couple of extra people sprinkled in there, and then Drake May, the quarterback, is the main one. So I think a unified front is the smart move for guys like Van Pelt and guys like Mayo, as opposed to looking outside for help. You say, hey, you know what? We're stronger together here than we are splintering off.
Sure.
and presenting it in a different way. I think that makes perfect sense.
And I think Gerard Mayo brought that up this week when talking about Van Pels. He had something about when we interviewed all these guys, like the idea that they were all in it together kind of mentalities. But I would also argue this season is kind of playing out the way they projected. They talked about playing younger players later in the year, not necessarily winning games, but getting better, laying a foundation. The quarterback was the most important thing. All of that's come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And now it feels like we're kind of scrambling here.
Yeah.
We're like, does this feel like scrambling to you? It feels too early to me. And I know Tom Curran made it sound like, yeah, that's what anybody would do. Due diligence, smart. Maybe not smart for us to be talking about it. And the only way we talk about it is if somebody finds out about it.
Right.
And that's a big part of the problem, too. But I would also argue, Elliott Wolf told us they were going to play younger players later in the year. Now at wide receiver, they're playing younger players, right? Offensive line, they've got younger players. They are at least trending in a positive direction, some people think. Some of us think that that trend may hit a downward trend this week against the Rams.
Yeah.
But why the need for what feels like a slightly desperate act? Drake May has been better, not worse. You know who should be desperate right now asking how to support a young quarterback? Chicago.
Mm.
They should be asking around the league.
Yeah.
They should be finding out. Or, for example, the Texans. Maybe they take a step back. If you're the McNairs, the ownership down there, if you want to consult with people that have dealt with, oh, you had a rookie quarterback that had instant success, but then things got tougher. How'd you deal with that? I just don't understand what we're looking for right now. You have a great young quarterback. You have a seemingly good enough quarterback developer as his personal coach. Everything else is kind of a poop show, as you expected yourself, because Robert Kraft told Andrew Callahan or Mike Reese in one of those stories, rough seas ahead or something like that.
Sure, yeah.
The seas aren't that rough. They were rougher 3 weeks ago. The seas seem like they've calmed out a little bit, and you're kind of chugging along, moving forward.
Yeah, seems like progress has been made.
It's weird.
The offensive line looked a lot better. And now, listen, maybe a game against the Bears is going to have people thinking things that aren't necessarily true. You did just lose to Tennessee. You've lost to Jacksonville. You lost to Miami. You lost to all these bad teams. But that was a good win. I mean, that was a quality win where May made some plays, and the defense looked great. So, you know, if that's the way they're going to win games, we expected that coming into the season. The defense, the running game, and Drake May were going to win you games. And that's how they beat Chicago.
I'm also starting to believe that Josh McDaniels listens to the show and texts us, because we get a crap ton
of
texts.
We get a lot of Josh stuff, yeah.
About how good Josh is. He can solve everything. He did it with... Do people remember how much they used to crap on Josh McDaniels when he was the offensive
coordinator? I remember that, yeah.
Brady. Does time heal all wounds? Is that one of these things, or is he the lesser of two evils?
No, you realize the grass was greener before. I think that since Josh McDaniels left, the offense has been so bad that you remember what it was like when he was here. And even though you complained about him and there was people who didn't like certain play calls that he did, you've seen the other side. You've looked into the abyss, and it's stared right back at you. And to the tune of Matt Patricia and O'Brien and, you know, whatever you think of Van Pelt and his offensive play calling this year, I don't think a lot of people are in love with that. They like mostly how he's developing the quarterback. So, yeah, I think Josh McDaniels looks great these days.
Can we do an impromptu 15-second what if?
Sure.
What if Thursday, late in the show during bitching hour, what if on January 10th the Patriots put out a single-line statement that says New England Patriots have hired Josh McDaniels as assistant head coach and play caller? What's your reaction?
I would think that's a good thing.
You'd like it?
I'd like it. I don't think it would be super popular among the Patriots fans.
Well, the texters would eat it up.
Some of these texters certainly would. I think that in general it would be looked at like, oh, okay, you're bringing back another Bill guy. Wow, how original, how creative. I don't know that it would be met with all positives, but, you know, I would think so. I would think, hey, this is someone that if this is what they're trying to do and he's not going to be usurping anybody's current position, and I don't know, Van Pelt may feel differently if he's coming in here to call plays, but
collect your $3 million and enjoy life.
I think that's what I think. You know, that's sort of how I'd look at it. I also, on some level, would not love the idea that you're now locked into a potential one or two or however many years with Josh McDaniels when you could have gone in a different direction with someone who's a little more innovative, maybe someone who's a little younger, someone who hasn't been alienated by the rest of the league, you know, that type of thing. It does sort of seem like you're just going back to the well of people you know. And I did criticize the Crafts for doing that with this in this hiring cycle, so it would be a little hypocritical for me to ignore that now, but I do think it would be a step up from what you have, sure.
That would be a well that might also include Brian Daboll, Kevin mm-hmm. Stefanski, Josh McDaniels. Rank those in terms of your preferences.
Stefanski 1, Daboll 2, McDaniels 3.
But you would like all of them?
I'd be all right with all three
of them.
You
feel like all would be in a positive step forward for the team and for the quarterback and the offense?
Yes.
I kind of agree.
Yeah, I think so.
See, we agreed. It's not the bitching hour.
How about that?
It's the agreement hour.
By the way, everybody on the text line getting into the cars at different times. If you missed any part of the show, you can go back and listen to the podcast. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. Here's Stiz with what's trending, and we'll go behind the glass after this.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending this hour on WEEI and WEEI.com. Celtics beat the Nets 139-114 in Brooklyn last night. Jason Tatum led the Celtics scoring with 36 points. Jaylen Brown followed behind him with 24. Peyton Pritchard had 23 on the night. Seeds will head home to host the Raptors on Saturday night. Tip-off from Causeway Street at 8 p.m. Bruins in Dallas tonight to take on the Stars. Puck drops at 8 p.m. from the American Airlines Center. Jim Montgomery told the media earlier today that defenseman Hampus Lindholm will be sidelined for multiple weeks with a lower body injury. Bruins have also called up forward Patrick Brown from Providence. Patriots were back on the practice field today. Christian Barmore also returned to practice today. This was the first time the defensive lineman was involved in practice since he was diagnosed with blood clots in July. Patriots will host the Rams on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium at 1 p.m. Thursday Night Football in just a little bit, as the 7-3 Commanders are in Philly to take on the 7-2 Eagles. Kickoff at 8:15 from Lincoln Financial Field. You can catch that game right here on WEEI FM. Our Westwood One coverage will begin at 7:30, or you can download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. And the Red Sox have agreed to a one-year deal with pitcher Justin Wilson. The deal is believed to be worth $1.5 million with $1 million in bonuses. Trending brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hot.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Alex Van Pelt this morning speaking to the media. The reason why I wanted to play that clip is because the question was about Kayshon Boutte and how he's been playing this year. And Van Pelt says, you know, he's been our most consistent receiver. And I think that's really the heart of this matter when we talk about the Crafts and we talk about them looking for outside help and things to bring their quarterback along. Van Pelt is out there. I think that was there was some intent behind that answer. Kayshon Booty's our best receiver. What the hell do you want from me? What are you expecting, oh, Robert? Wow. What are you expecting, Jonathan? Look at who our best receiver is. It's Kayshon Booty, who is a sixth-round pick. That's probably not how he's saying it, but you know what I mean? Like, that's I think, part of what we're getting here. We're getting a lot of sort of crosstalk between Mayo and Van Pelt talking about how great the other one is, and, yeah, he's doing such a great job, and blah, 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 blah. What about Kayshon Booty? Well, he's our most consistent receiver. You know, you want to look outside the organization for some help. Maybe go outside the organization and help whoever it was that put a wide receiver room together that Kayshon Booty was the standout talent. You know, maybe do something like that instead of worrying about me and the scheme and all that other stuff. Whatever it is you're worried about here with Drake May and his development. How about the fact that Kayshon Booty's his most reliable receiver? Why don't you do something about that? Why don't you make some calls about that, Robert?
You read more into that than I did, no doubt, but I'm enjoying it because I definitely read into that in the Drake May stuff when he was talking about his feet have come a long way.
Sure.
Plus, I can't put enough pluses on how much good work we've done with his footwork and everything that's advanced there. But you're right. You could definitely be promoting. I mean,
I doubt that Van Pelt was thinking about that when he was praising Kayshon Booty. But it is a way you can take it. It's a way you can look at it, and it's something that I think is more relevant than the way he's being coached. I think he's being coached just fine, and he's taking the coaching well. I think that that's all sort of on track right now. What's not on track and what's not getting any better is the supporting cast, and that's what you should be making calls about.
And he did. He had another comment that I laughed out loud. I don't think he meant it. Somebody asked him about, you know, a lot of teams have two receivers, and you know, you throw to those two receivers, and you don't have that, so you guys kind of piece. And he said, yeah, it's a challenge. Everything's a challenge.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if he means it, but I think it truly is. He has no idea what to turn to. Like, what would you say you do here? I don't know. We don't really do anything well. Like, we don't really have an area of expertise, a strength. They're trying to talk themselves into some sort of identity,
which
is could come crashing
They've
down.
They've been trying
week.
To do that all
right.
season.
Because they don't have an identity. You know what their identity is? A young quarterback and bad talent.
Yeah.
That's kind of their identity.
A bad team with a good quarterback.
Right.
That's pretty much what they are. 617-779-7937. Mark's in the car. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark.
First of all, hey, made the switch from down the dial. Like, so you guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you, Mark. That's nice to hear. We appreciate it. We hope you stay.
Yeah. You hear that, 774? Yeah. Just screw yourself.
What's up?
So two things. One, I think this is the biggest non-story that you guys are blowing up to be this big story. I think Kraft got this huge investment in this quarterback. He knows what went wrong with the last guy. But what the hell is wrong with talking to other folks and saying, hey, what worked for you guys? What didn't work for you guys when bringing in a young quarterback? That doesn't undermine anybody. That supports the coaching staff. That gives them a little bit more ammunition and tools in their toolbox to set this guy up for success.
You think the coaching staff looks at it that way, Mark? You think they like the fact that this story is out right now? You think Alex Van Pelt and Jerod Mayo are psyched about that?
I don't. Maybe they'd rather not the story be out. But listen, you know, and what I do for work, I ask people in the business. I said, what are the other guys doing? What works? I'm smart enough to know that I don't have all the answers, and I don't take it as the personal affront that I can get some help elsewhere. Like, and I don't.
I think we lost them.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mark. Thanks for tuning in.
But his approach is not the same as theirs. I agree with that in a lot of areas. You know, you're in sales, you're in medical, you're whatever. What's going on? What are they doing down south? Oh, can we bring that technology? Absolutely. This is different than that. And the way they ruined the last quarterback, if they need to ask about why that went south, then they need to have the team taken away from them.
Agreed.
Right? Like, that was obvious.
It was pretty clear. Yeah.
You made a defensive coordinator and a special teams coach the coach of the offense and then treated the kid in a way that wasn't in line with his personality.
Yeah, he contributed to it.
Absolutely.
It's not like he was totally hands clean here, but he was the 24-year-old quarterback, and you're the 70-year-old head coach who's been in the league forever and should know better.
Or fueled a toxic environment.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That would be my advice. If he called me and said, Andy, how do you think we should support a young quarterback? Don't create a toxic environment. Make sure the coaching around him is competent. Make sure the coaching is intended to improve him and put talent around him. That's my point here. I just don't know that. How many other answers are there? Unless we're getting really granular, Like, I mean, I guess this could be true. Mm-hmm. It could be real. Don't use VR. We actually learned that we used VR with our young quarterback, and it slowed his progress on the field. If you got something like that, then I would say this is worthwhile. But even then, don't go outside the organization, because somebody inside your organization wanted to use VR.
Yeah.
So you're kind of undercutting them internally. Mm-hmm. Keep this stuff internal, which, again, people that the stizzes of the world, oh, you bitched that you didn't know anything for 20 years. Now you know something, and you're saying keep it in-house.
That was a good stiz impression,
yes,
by
I
the
am.
Way. Yeah,
that I was don't do good impression.
That was much better than your – what impression did you do earlier that was no good?
Oh, it was the Red
you
Sox.
You claimed I did Devers. It was just a voice
that was
more than
bad
an impression.
Impression. Yes,
it was a
right.
tonality more than an impression.
Right, but that was a good stiz impression.
Well, thank you.
Shane is in Plymouth. Hi, Shane.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
What's up?
Nah, just cooking on the Blackstone there.
All right.
These things sizzling like Andy's takes, you know?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, anyway, what about McDaniels as like a Ernie Adams type role? You got to keep him away from the players. Like you said, he's toxic around the players, but don't you think he and Gerard Mayo kind of speak the same football language and remember a lot of the same stuff from the championship runs? I think he'd be great as the Ernie Adams type.
Maybe. I don't know if he'd accept a role like
no,
that.
No
I think
chance.
He'd probably want to get back into the coordinator coaching, you know, at the very least position coach or something like that,
oh,
if
no.
we even want to go that
coordinator.
Low. But yeah, coordinator
I think he expects,
is where he would be.
I think he fully would expect to be a coordinator by January something and,
yeah.
and working in a new place.
Patricia sort of fell back into a role like that after the debacle
he's toxic.
Of offensive coordinator. But yeah,
that's where I would push back. I don't think Josh was toxic as an offensive coordinator.
No,
you can argue
head coach he was.
Head coach,
yeah.
he's toxic. Although, I don't know how less toxic things are in Vegas right now after him. Everybody loved Antonio Pierce, although it still seems to be a bit of a crap show out there now, and mm-hmm. he could lose his job. So, no, I think Josh very much, and he's too young. Josh is like 40-something, 46, 47?
That's it?
Yeah, oh yeah. He's in his mid-40s. So he
48.
Is, 48. Yeah, so he's 48 years old.
Late 40.
He's too young to be, like, put in an office somewhere. Like,
yeah.
he still has
no,
on-field
I agree with,
coaching
I agree with you
ability.
There, for sure, 100%. All right, it is 5:30, a little after 5:30. That means it's time to go Behind the Glass. All right, Stiz, what do we got
right.
behind the glass today?
Is this like circus music?
It sure is.
Yes.
So you don't have high hopes for this segment.
Well, I do.
Cueing the circus music.
Hey, we're just going to have some fun.
Okay, good. I like
it's going to be an actual clown show.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so as you guys might remember, last Wednesday, there was a problem in South Carolina with 43 research monkeys escaped from a research facility.
We opened yes. the show with this
That's
story.
Right.
We don't often do that. We don't open the show with some thing that happened in another state, but that it was just breaking as we got on the air. We discussed that at length when it first happened.
And we beat Kiefer Madness to the punch.
Yes.
I don't think that happens too often in this area. That's sort of
Never
their
does.
Area of expertise, but we had the monkey talk long before the midday program.
No monkeying around on this show. Guys,
terrible.
As
Please
of
stop.
Today, I have to inform you that the monkeys are still on the loose.
Uh-oh.
Wait, how many days later? 8 days later?
8 days later. Check this out. This was from the news earlier
They're
today.
All still on the loose?
No.
Okay,
no.
Okay,
hold on.
Okay.
The search is still on this morning for 13 monkeys that escaped from a research 13. Facility in South Carolina. In all, 43 monkeys escaped last week from an enclosure that wasn't fully locked. They appeared to stay
close to the compound, Hoda, because employees were able to recapture 30 of them in the past few days, and they lured them back with food. But more than a dozen monkeys are still on the loose. The company Alpha Genesis says it will continue to search for the animals for as long as it takes.
Okay.
Now, that was earlier today.
Uh-huh.
There is a bit of breaking news. Now there are only 8.
Oh.
So now they've got, there was a dozen this morning. Now they're down to 8, and they're trying to lure the monkeys. I'm going to give, now this is kind of going to be like a stiz quiz. What are they using to lure the monkeys? Is it A, Rice Krispie treats, B, peanut butter and jelly, or C, bananas?
See, so the obvious answer would be bananas.
I mean, obviously. That's
but I'm not going with the
right
obvious.
Where my first
I'm saying Rice Krispie treats.
That's what I, that was, yeah, after hearing all three, I would go Rice Krispie treats as well.
Peanut butter and jelly
peanut
sandwiches,
and
they're
jelly.
Working like a charm, apparently.
Really?
Are
so
they
no,
real, or are they your Uncrustables that you like?
There's nothing wrong with Uncrustables.
No, apparently the NFL goes through a lot of Uncrustables, but no,
well,
I don't know if
eat
they're
them while
actual
you can,
sandwiches.
RFK Jr. is going to ban them.
Amen.
You're not going to be eating those anymore. So there's 13 monkeys still on the loose.
Eight.
Okay,
down
so they
eight.
Caught five of them. There's eight monkeys. And you know what? That's good, because if you're going to make a movie about these escaped monkeys, 43 is way too many monkeys. Eight monkeys, you
it's
can
doable.
Start writing the screenplay, okay? Like, now we got a story here. The eight surviving monkeys, I don't know what they're going to do once they're free. They've been free for 8 days. So whatever they're doing to stay alive, right? Like, they've got to be eating. They got to be doing something here. So, these are maybe the monkeys that are a little much natural selection, right? Like, they're the ones that evaded capture. They're the ones who were still, we think anyway,
or
still
dead.
Alive. Or they all died. I mean, that could be the
case. Right, if they can't find them, they could be dead in a ditch.
Eight
like your
monkeys.
Parents say, you could be dead in a ditch somewhere, and I wouldn't even know it. Maybe the monkeys are dead in a ditch.
That's what I thought. Remember when that cow escaped in Roslindale earlier this year? There was, like, a cow running around in Roslindale, and they couldn't find it. I was like, it's probably dead, you guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm holding out hope that these eight monkeys are still living their best lives.
That's what I would like to think, that they're going to go set up, like, their own monkey city. Yeah, like a commune, you know what I mean? Like, F the man. And remember, we had that caller last week. So, you know, the stories are now saying that the reason they escaped was because an employee didn't fully lock the enclosure.
I don't buy that.
Exactly. And remember, we had the caller last
week
that said...
Unless the employee was trying to let him out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We had that caller that said he worked at a research facility like this, and he said his best guess was it was someone that didn't agree and was trying to...
You wouldn't do that by accident. It would have to be on purpose, because, right?
Yeah. There couldn't have been just one door, like one door straight to the outside. It feels like there'd be multiple layers of security keeping them.
Right.
Also, the other thing that popped up, and I heard this somewhere else, they were testing vaccines on them.
Oh,
so
the
there's
plot
some
thickens.
There's some shadiness potentially.
Not
there.
To go back to the RFK Jr. joke,
right?
But yeah,
and
won't have to worry about that anymore.
They also said they pose no risk to the public as long as you have no contact with them. Like, what are we doing? Stop it! Everything has no risk to me if I never come in contact with it. Right? Like,
what if they come in contact with you?
Right?
Exactly. They're still telling the residents to keep their doors locked, their windows locked, so they're not messing around.
What would be your dream way to find a monkey? Like, if you were just like, if this happened around here, what would be the funniest, coolest, like, would you want it? You
dressed in a butler costume, ready to be my assistant. That's the way I'd like to find a monkey.
So mine
would like
be
a monkey butler.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I think that's a little far-fetched.
It
I was trying
definitely
to be a little
is,
more
but
realistic.
I'm saying that's my, you said what's your ideal way. That's my ideal
so
way.
So I let my dogs out a couple times a day, and we have a pretty big yard. If one of them came back with a monkey riding it, like, and came up the deck, like, waiting at the slide.
Oh, that's
to come
very
in.
Plausible compared to mine. Yeah, here. Yeah, right.
Your monkey has a freaking suit on.
Your monkey's riding a dog like a horse.
That's
what
realistic.
Do you mean? I don't think it
All
is.
All he's going to do is jump on his back and hold his collar, and he's on my deck riding to my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Outbreak?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Classic movie. And remember he has to go get, what is that, Dustin Hoffman, I believe?
Yes.
He has to go get the monkey, and remember the little girl is, like, playing with the monkey?
Yeah. Yes.
And that's the monkey that started this whole epidemic, and he has to try to shoot it.
Well, imagine that. Like, you have kids. You have kids.
I do.
Well, probably not old enough to be out by themselves playing, but if you let...
No, we'd be out there, too.
If you let your kid out
Unless
to just go
really
play...
pissing me off.
And you go out to the swing set, and you're
there,
like,
George.
Why is there two swings Is that a monkey on the swing with my kid?
Yeah.
That would be nerve-wracking.
Yeah. That would be the opposite of it riding the dog. That would freak me out.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you run out there screaming, but if you alarm it, maybe it chokes your kid out or something, freaks out. You never know how it reacts.
Right. Probably throws poo at you or something like that. Yeah. Who
or
needs
at
that?
Your kid.
Yeah.
Or,
kid would throw poop back at him.
Does your kid actually throw poop?
No, but I think he would recognize that the monkey was trying to establish dominance. And little kids are kind of like monkeys, if you think about it. Like, they have, like, dumb monkey brains. They walk around kind of like monkeys. You know, like, they sort of have monkey characteristics.
And don't they...
So, what?
Isn't the phrase, monkey see, monkey do?
Exactly.
So if he sees a monkey throw monkey poo, he's going to do.
At him. He's going in that diaper. He's getting some poo right back at you there, monkey. That's what's going to happen.
And he's always ready. He keeps some there just in case.
Got one in the chamber at all
Got
times.
Got one in the chamber.
Absolutely. You remember that movie, 12 Monkeys?
Vaguely.
It wasn't even about monkeys. They were just called the 12 Monkeys, but it was about time travel. They went back in time because something,
disease
wiped everything out. I vaguely remember it.
Okay.
I didn't love it at the time, but, you know, it was a movie about monkeys. Well, it wasn't even about monkeys, but it was called 12 Monkeys.
So do we expect, have an update in terms of...
Yeah, what's going on?
No, so as of right now, eight monkeys are still on the loose. I mean,
who's chasing the monkeys?
The monkey
animal control?
No.
Whose responsibility is it? The cops? Is it the place that lost them? Is it?
No, I know that's
sure,
actually
I'm
a good
sure
question. They should
control.
Have to pay.
Yeah, but most places have like I think animal control in my town is like one part time worker. Because sometimes you call and say there's like a raccoon in the road, and they're like, she doesn't work till tomorrow.
So you're going to put one lady with one van
one lady
after 40?
With like a blow dart
right.
gun?
No wonder she hasn't caught all 43 monkeys.
Looking for
well, the way it says it in the article, it says South Carolina lab recaptures escaped monkeys. It doesn't say animal control. It doesn't say, I would imagine that they have some assistance, but.
Yeah. I don't know.
It might be just the research.
It is a long time for monkeys to be on the lam.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep you posted on this. This is now our story. I'm sorry, Kiefer,
yeah,
man, but we started
Kiefer.
With this. This is our thing, and we will see it through to the end until every single one of those eight monkey carcasses are hauled in.
I will not rest.
We will not rest. No, we will not. All right.
Yeah, what if the monkeys they caught ate the other monkeys? That's how they survived.
It's entirely possible, yeah.
Right. That's a text I'm stealing. Sorry, text.
But if they ate them, they wouldn't have eaten all the bones and skeleton remains. Like, there'd still be, you'd see the monkey remains somewhere. They wouldn't eat
smart.
All that. Well, they're going to bury the bones?
Bury it, put it in somebody's garbage, compost. I mean, they may have disposed of the other monkeys.
It's like Breaking Bad. They, like, dissolve them in acid or something.
Maybe. Yeah. You never know.
It's true. They were conducting experiments. Maybe they're super smart.
I think some of the monkeys are dead. That's my prediction.
Probably.
Whether they find them or not, they're already dead.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they fought each other.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes style, you know, and Caesar emerged victorious. I like to think that some of them are still out there.
That's what I think.
I'm optimistic that they're still alive. And
the
that,
Sox
you know,
won't get Soto, but I'm optimistic about
no,
monkeys.
No, but those monkeys, they're going to make it. All right, 617-779-7937. Odds and Ends is next.
Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Odds and Ends brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K and the number 4. I got one thing for Odds and Ends here today, and it's a design of a business that doesn't exist yet, but there are artist renderings that hit Twitter yesterday. Are you a Topgolf guy? You ever been to Topgolf?
I've never been.
Okay.
It's a blast.
You understand what it is.
Yeah,
though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. It's like you go, you get a little bay, everybody hits into the thing. There's
you drink, you
different
eat.
Games, you drink, you eat, you have a great time. I live right by the one in Canton, so I've been there a bunch. And I do enjoy it. However, there is now a new project in the works called Jump Shot Live, the Topgolf of basketball. Now,
is this real?
I've seen clips of this. I don't know for sure that it's real, but there is a article about it on topgolf.club/jumpshotlive. And here it is. It says, we previously covered the Topgolf of baseball and soccer on our website. Now we're excited to introduce together another innovative entertainment venue, Jump Shot, uniquely dubbed by its owner as the Topgolf of basketball. Brooklyn Johnny, a entrepreneur named Jonathan Descartes on Instagram, said, we put together a top-notch team for this. Think basketball version of Topgolf. We'll see you soon. In the article, they talk about what's going to go into this. Jump Shot Live will blend sports with entertainment, food and drinks. Eatertainment is what we're calling it. And he introduced the concept via a Instagram video. Jump Shot boasts the involvement of former Lakers assistant coach Phil Handy and several other people. They're joining forces with Detlef Schrempf, who played for the Sonics, and a bunch of other people whose names I don't recognize. DJ Khaled is an advisor. And the doors haven't opened yet, but the idea is there will be a plush check-in area, a restaurant section, a central bar, high tables, and individual boxes, each equipped with their own basketball hoop. Now, Here's the problem that I see immediately. Number one, hitting golf balls doesn't really work up a sweat the way
right.
shooting baskets does.
Correct.
If you're out there in the gym and you're shooting baskets for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, you're gonna start getting musty. I mean, that's just the way it is. Not so much when you're hitting some golf balls in a climate-controlled area. I mean, even if you're in a climate-controlled gym and you're shooting hoops, it's going to start to get a little stank in there, you know? Like, that's just,
yes.
I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And if you're combining food and drinks and everything, and by the way, you're eating and drinking, the ball's bouncing around, you're going to spill your food. It's going to land in the nachos. You're going to spill your beer. And by the way, you want to be drinking beer and then running out there trying to shoot baskets like that? All of this, and I'm a big shoot-around guy. I love shooting baskets. It's like my favorite thing to do. I love just sitting there by myself in a playground somewhere, me in a basket and a hoop, just shooting hoops for as long as I can until people come over and want to play pickup, and then I go home because I'm not in that kind of shape right now. But that's basically it. Like, I love shooting around. But I don't need to incorporate food and drink with my shoot-arounds, and I definitely don't need a whole bunch of my friends all joining in, too. Like, what, we all get a ball? Like, how does that even go? I think this is, in theory, an idea that, oh, wow, cool, a basketball Topgolf. But in execution, I think this is a terrible idea.
I do, too. I mean, it's a cool idea to try, and I think it will fail miserably. I just don't think it'll be very popular for all the reasons you said. Plus, Topgolf, I haven't been there, but like everybody likes to go to the driving range and hit the ball. Whether it's funny how not far it went or how right or left it went, or you crush it and hit it into the back net, whether you're men, women, children, golfer, non-golfer, everybody likes doing that. I feel like just shooting baskets wears off kind of quickly. Yeah, I don't think there's much upside to that.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. Stiz has a little piece of Mike Tyson information.
Yeah, I got some Tyson audio. Big fight tomorrow night, so obviously both Mike Tyson and Jake Paul doing the media rounds.
Is this his interview with the kid?
Yes.
Okay, so I've seen this on Twitter, but I haven't actually listened to it yet. People are talking about this. All right, let's
I need you guys to keep in mind, so this is like probably, she can't be more than 10 years old.
Great,
okay? 10-year-old girl interviewing Mike Tyson ahead of his big fight
with
Jake Paul tomorrow.
So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die, and it's going to be over. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. That is something.
That's the best part.
Mike Tyson is so back.
Oh, my God. I'm
telling you, he's winning. And Joe Mazzulla must love that. He must be a Tyson guy through and through.
We're all just going to die.
We're all just going to be dead.
No such thing as legacy. All we are is dust in the wind, kid. That's it.
Dust.
Wow.
Do I have time to get one in
real
quick?
What an answer. Go ahead.
I don't know if people are following. There's a couple strikes with unions on the North Shore, Beverly, Marblehead, a couple different places. Marblehead's football team is in the playoffs. At first, they weren't going to let them play. Some parents sued. They've now said the team is going to be allowed to play Friday night in their playoff game, but non-teacher, non-union personnel are going to have to oversee it.
So they're bringing in scab coaches, basically?
That's the way I read it, unless I'm misreading something, which I think is great that they're allowing them to play, but it's not ideal that they're not going to have, I think, their regular coaches and staff.
No,
and
I would say that's definitely not ideal.
I couldn't, well, other than my son's team, I'll be rooting for them first. The team I'm second most rooting for in the state is Marblehead. With whoever's coaching, hell, let the quarterback call the offensive plays, let the middle linebacker call the defenses, and go kick ass, boys.
Yeah, go get them. All right, there you go. That's all the time we have here on WEEI Afternoons. Want to say thanks to Tom Giles. Want to say thanks to Tom E. Curran. It's a Patriots Friday tomorrow at 2 o'clock, so don't miss out on any of that, and keep it right here for Shime and Fitzy, who will take you up until Thursday night football. That's all for us. Talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock right here on WEEI.
No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.